Thank you very much, Mr. Higginson. And I'll say it's a pleasure. It's pressure, more than a pleasure, to stand here tonight. But it's good to have a testimony to God saving and keeping grace in my life. And if you have your Bibles with us, just a couple of verses. Verses that are often used in testimonies, found in Psalm 34 and the verses 46. Very appropriate. In times of trouble, in times of distress, in times of fear. Wonderful verses here from God's Word. Psalm 34 and the verse 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. I was born into this world, a little place outside Port Stewart called Cabba, and that was in the year 1900, and mind your own business. Born no different than anybody else. Born a sinner, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Bible reminds us in Romans 3:23, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Psalmist tells us, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Born into that broad road that leads to destruction and to hell itself. Salvation, folks, tonight is all of God. Conviction, repentance, faith, and through his matchless and sovereign grace. But I thank God tonight there were those in our district that had a concern for the souls of our family. And they were a people who prayed and gathered 10 boys and girls from the locality who prayed and put feet to their prayers. That family was the Michael Reavy family, who owned a little farm just down the road from us. And Sammy, Margaret, and Elizabeth, their daughter, who loved the Lord, and who were sold out entirely to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a love, and they had a passion for souls of the lost. Miss Michael Reavy, her daughter Elizabeth, I believe only eternity will reveal what these humble servants did for the Savior that they loved. Elizabeth, I'm sure Mr. Gray knows her now, is the Reverend Tim Harton's wife, and they were faithful to the souls of boys and girls, men and women. Elizabeth drove a family car. Now, there weren't many of them about in these days, so they weren't. If you had a push bike, that was a luxury. But usually it was Shanks's pony. You just had to walk here, there, and yonder. We walked 2.5 miles to school from our house and 2.5 miles back again. So that's how much I love school. I was caught with my mum one day, right off. I didn't walk at all. I said a bull chased me and I came back home again. But anyway, that was that's how it was in those days. She picked up from children from all around the countryside. And she filled that car. Sister Eleanor will know this because she fell out one day. And she's still the scar in her head yet to prove it. Elizabeth was in a bad way about that, but maybe there were 8 or 9 in the car. So they weren't the same locks in the cars in them days, I'll tell you. But from an early age, folks, I had the privilege of hearing and be taught from the Word of God by faithful Sunday school teachers. I was told of my need of God's salvation made aware that I was separated from God by my sin, and could not be where God was in heaven because of that sin. My need of repentance and faith towards God, I was taught, and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. In those early days, we hadn't got a church. We met in a pigeon club. Not in a pigeon coop, no, but it was a pigeon club. And there were some good times. Had a brush. The sawdust up in the mornings when we went in and get the chair set out. But it was good times, and it was during a mission in Corrie, and just the same as this here. It was in the town hall. And no doubt the mathematicians will work out my age now. It was during a mission in Corrie Town Hall in 1957, conducted by the late Reverend John Wiley and Dr. Paisley. It was at those meetings that I came under conviction of sin and my need of God's salvation. I do not remember tonight the message that was preached or the text that was preached upon, but as the appeal was made that night, I realized that I was a sinner, and if I died that night, I could not be where God was in heaven. So there in the quiry room, I was God's servant, opened a word and pointed me to the only lover of my eternal soul. The one who left heaven for me to die on a cruel cross, not for sins or crimes that he had committed, but for my sin. And he shed his precious blood to redeem my precious soul. My sinner friend, tonight in this meeting, this is an opportunity for you. Your sin separates you from God. You cannot be where God is in heaven because of that sin. Will you do as I did all those years ago? Cry out like Peter the disciple, Lord, save me. Simple as that, folks. Simple as that. Romans 10 verse 13 tells us, whosoever, that's you, that's me, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And as a big family, we hadn't much of this world's goods. Maybe it wasn't as big there in Cabot. It got bigger. There were nine of us all together at the end up. No TVs. And the reason we had no TV, because we had no electric. Well, there were no TVs at that time, but there were no running water. We had a well at the bottom of the garden, an old pump with a cow tail's handle on it. And when it was going, it was good. When the summer times were good, well, you had no water. You had to walk to the graveyard and get the water. We had no flush toilet, no bathroom. No, I didn't come from a jungle. I didn't come from Africa. But no, that's the way it was in those days. And we were a happy family. Mum and Dad were saved at their own bedside. But both died at the age of 62, just 2 years apart. 27, 25 years ago, both now in the glory. We thank God for that. They read and told us stories from the Word of God. It was a happy home, a blessed home. But folks, tonight, I have to admit to my shame, as I had now begun to work, to earn money of my own, 16, 17, 18 years of age, I thought I was too old for Sunday school now and Bible class. Started missing the church meetings, which we went to maybe five times in a Sunday. Sunday school, church. We went to a Sunday school in our school in the afternoon. Two old ladies, Miss Morelands, Nellie and Ginny, they rode the bicycles from Portstewart to that school to tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for us. Wonderful, can remember him yet. 1 week Jenny would have prayed, and she says, I'll pray and Nellie will watch. So we had to keep her eyes shut. And the next week Nellie would have prayed and Jenny would have watched. So it was powerful, powerful, great people, so they were. But my desires now were the world, the flesh, and the devil. What they would offer me, three great enemies of the soul. And I thought, and tonight, if you are saved, If you're not saved, there are things that keep you in your sins tonight. Yes, I was backslidden, far from God. My sin had taken me further than I wanted to go, which I will not go into tonight because I will not glorify the devil, the world in any way. Suffice to say, I frequented pubs and clubs in the area and got into trouble with the law, bound over to keep the peace, and spent nights in the police cell. To my shame, broke a dear mother's heart and father's heart, nights not coming home. And mother would have stayed awake. She told me that many times. She'd be 5 o'clock, 6 in the morning. She never slept till her rebellious son was home safely. And I say this to my shame tonight, and I let the Lord down. I warn you tonight, young people in this meeting, the devil's a hard taskmaster. He had no love for my soul. He's no love for your soul. He's a liar. He's the inventor of lies. He's a destroyer of the precious soul. And one day, damn it, for all eternity in an eternal hell. This old world, when it is finished with you, will leave you in a scrap heap. Like a prodigal we read of in Luke chapter 15, I made the worst decision in the best place. That was a home where I was in contact or brought in contact with the Word of God, with those who prayed for my soul and who cared for it. But thank God, like a prodigal, I made the best decision in the worst place. That was in the pig pens of this world. To come home to the Father's house. The world had cast me off. Friends forsook me. So called. I was bankrupt. But I thank God he never gave up on me. And those at home and at church who never gave up praying for me. Thank you. Yes, 15, 16 years I stayed away from God. I saved the world. I served the world, the flesh, and the devil. But our new church building went up in 1982. And it was there. My mum said, John, you'll come back when the new church opens. I said I will, but really, deep down, I had no intention of going back. But to please her, I thought I would say, yes, I'll go back. But you know, that mission, again, at the opening of the church, Reverend John Morrow was evangelist. Dr. Paisley took the opening Sunday afternoon. I said, well, I'll go and I'll slip in at the back here somewhere. But I didn't go unnoticed because the place was packed. And I sat right up at the pulpit. So I had, and it was Dr. Paisley again that brought the Word of God that day. The Lord had other ideas. At the end of that meeting, I couldn't leave. I was remorseful, broken, sorry for my sin, and empty-handed. Father, I've sinned against you and against your Son. Please have mercy upon my never dying soul. With open arms that Sunday afternoon, the Savior invited me back into his fold and family once again. I was back in 1982. I want to thank the Lord personally tonight for his patience, his long suffering, his mercy and his grace to me who had left and backslidden. That's where I met my wife then, 4 years after that. In 1986, we got married, and that's 33 years ago, I think. But the two boys whom we love, Aaron and David, are now married, living in Cullybaggy, and David. Sadly. Not in the meeting tonight. No desire to be here. Once, I believe, he walked well with the Lord. Took part in meetings. But continue to pray for David. As I ask him at night, I've asked him every night. And he's sitting tonight in the darkness of his room. But what about you in this meeting? Will you not accept God's free offer of mercy and grace to you? His goodness to you, allowing you this opportunity to hear what God would say to you from his precious, precious word. Words whereby you can be saved. If you're in here tonight in your sin, I pray that you will come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody or no man can get anything from God on the grounds he deserves it. Folks, I didn't deserve God's mercy. I didn't deserve God's grace, but he's a loving, he's a forgiving, he's a wonderful Savior. If all a man deserved, like myself, deserved the wrath of God, but God is good. God loves you so much, he sent his Son to die for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, that's me, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My prayer is that ye listen to the preacher tonight as he opens God's word and brings to you the word that God has laid upon his heart. Please, please, don't leave tonight without getting the matter of your soul salvation, your eternal soul, settled. Come to Christ. Something, folks, I can earnestly say, something you will never regret. May God help you for his name's sake, for his glory alone. Thank you for listening.